will do
now,
one day.
We were going to be joined by Martin Neville. He can't make it, so we're going to be chatting to him later on. But we got you in because we wanted to, you know, you're obviously, because of your title, just remind everybody, Paul, what you do.
Yeah, I'm the Cabinet Member for Children's Services, Education and Skills.
Okay, and that's where we wanted you to come in, meet the kids again from the school and so on and so forth. And I know you've got another meeting with them next week. You're going up there?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, I am. It's an enjoyable part of the job. As you're going out and meeting the young people. I was at Gatton and Lake Primary School this morning talking to their student council. And it's just really enjoyable to hear young people's views because that's what it's all about, their futures and their education.
Are you refreshed when you go out and meet these, you know, school kids and going into the schools? Are you refreshed or in, you know, you're a little bit concerned?
No, I'm very refreshed. It's good to hear that, first from the school's perspective, they have a student council and they listen to the student council, they involve the student council, because that's it's the children on the ground are the best people to report back to the adults and the head teacher at the school what could be improved, because they're living it day in, day out. And if they report something minor in the school, it's right that the schools take it seriously and look at, you know, can they do that? And if not, explain to the children why they can't do that. And the interesting thing is, of course, children have no concept of money. So if it's a good idea regarding safeguarding or outdoor activities or safety in the classrooms, you know, the schools do listen, and that's refreshing.
Funny you should mention money, because, you know, you get a lot of kids come through and they say when they want to do a discussion on things, they want to, you know, they get the choice to, you choose the topic, and sometimes they'll choose the things that they're not doing within a school, like money, you know, finding out about finances. And obviously you're in a pretty good position to sort of put them straight, because you worked in a bank for X amount of years. But you talk to youngsters and that's sort of, what is APR, they'll say. And I'd say, well, if I knew, I wouldn't be in the pickle that I'm in now either. So maybe it is a case of, you know, we get taught those things. I don't know whether we are or not in the schools around the island. Some will, some won't. But, you know, otherwise we're just going to make the same mistakes.
I think we're miles forward from where we were. The student councils, they're really active in all the primary schools that I've taken part in them. And they're really good. And the secondary schools as well. You know, they're really good student councils with some good leaders. And that's fed into the Isle of Wight Youth Council this year. We had 23 nominations to stand on the Isle of Wight Youth Council. So it's a way of getting them into the decision-making process, seeing how things work, and it's really good.
That's brilliant, because I think one of them was one of the chaps for the last couple of years, Tom Jackson.
Tom Jackson, yep.
He does a show here on a Monday evening.
He's just off going to university now, but Tom's been great for the Youth Council on the island. He's been a real figurehead. He's been really good, and I've enjoyed spending time, you know, working with him. We have some really good youth. We've got another good youth MP now, just been elected. These, you know, youngsters really want to make a difference.
It's a really healthy thing. You mentioned you know, where we were from a couple of years ago. So overall, big picture, you know, things were kind of, you know, we all saw the headlines, national headlines, rock bottom, and so on and so forth. Where are we now, as opposed to where we need to be?
Well, when it comes to education, we were 51% of our schools were good or better. We're now at 80%. If you look at the secondaries, for example, there's three secondaries that aren't rated good at the moment, but all three of those have had one day visits. In January, February and March time, and all three are deemed to be making satisfactory progress. So, you know, I'm comfortable that they were on the journey, so all of our secondary schools will be good come the next inspection. So in theory, by the end of this year, next year, we could have all of our secondary schools rated good by Ofsted. And on primaries, the ones that aren't rated good at the moment, we know why, and we're working with them, and they're all on a similar track. I mean, the goal is to be national, which is about 87% of schools, but from 51 to 80 already, we're definitely on the right journey to get all the schools where I want them to be.
So where is that? Where, you know, 80 is, it sounds, I mean, to me, that sounds all right. If I got 80% in an exam and I went home, I would have had a pat on the head for that. So 80% sounds high. How high do we want to be? Is it 100?
My ultimate aim is every child on this island is educated in a good-rated Ofsted school. So my aim is 100%. Now, my reality of that is that some schools won't be inspected in the time frame, you know, that we've set by the end of this administration. But, you know, every school that isn't, at the moment, good has got the level of support that they need, and they're on a journey towards good. And ultimately, every child should be taught in a good school.
How far can we go back with figures when was the last time we had some really, really, really good figures or anything close to 100%? Do we know that?
On exams, there's pockets. I can't go back too far, but certainly I know that at the moment the early years are above national average. Primary schools are approaching national average. Secondaries are overall still below, but we have got some examples of schools that have really turned their results around. Cowes Enterprise College, for example. And all schools are on that journey to be above national average. It's one of my other aims, is that all schools are above national average for all levels of results, as well as all being good with Ofsted. They're simple aims, but they have to be the right ones.
Is there any figures that you can say from 30 years ago it was really, really dreadful? And because I'm just looking at it and thinking, right, 80's good. 80's really good. But has it ever been at 80? Are we trying to get something that we've never achieved, never likely to achieve, or is it very achievable?
Well, I think in the current Ofsted style of inspections, we're probably now at the best we've ever been.
Right.
And heading in the right direction to go even further to get to the national level. Regarding exam results, we've always been below national average from as far back as I can, got data for. I don't accept that. I think we should be delivering national standards and above.
Mm.
And people say, why aren't you aiming to get above national standards? Well, we will, but you've got to aim to get there first. So when we've got to national standards, then we raise that bar even further. So I want all schools to achieve national standards, then we can raise the bar further. But each school will have their own bar, and we challenge them on, where are they aiming?
Okay, I mean that's positive. That's a positive thing, and I think it's all very easy. I mean, for me to say, oh yeah, 80%, that's all right. Take your foot off the gas now. We've reached where we need to be. But you're absolutely right. If we do that, there's a chance that we could be 60 next year, and that's not good enough. That's not acceptable. But so it's good to know that you've got.
You've got to bear in mind also, because if you've got a school that's good now, you can work on three schools that aren't good. If they then become good, and you drop three others, you don't move the overall percentage figure forward. So you've got to equally give the support to the ones that are good to get them to outstanding, or at least to maintain their good. So all schools should get a level of support depending on where they are on their journey.
What about the teachers? And they must play a major part in this, the old teachers, because people were saying that they can't get the teachers on the island, which I also don't get. I don't buy into. They weren't paying enough money and so on and so forth. So they play a major part. So how are we combating that, if it's true?
Well, I think we've got an excellent set of head teachers now. All of our secondary schools have got teachers that are new to their schools, and they work collaboratively together, which is good. Primary school heads, we've got a real strong set of primary heads. There's some really good people out there. Teachers, it's a case of recruiting them, attracting them, and the biggest thing is retaining them, because you don't want to attract three teachers if you're losing three.
Yeah.
So you've got to build from within, you've got to attract the quality. And when you attract quality teachers, you're talking about providing the whole package. We've got a fantastic island to live on. You've got to build the houses for them to live in, and you've got to give them the school environment where they can thrive, develop, progress their own careers, and attracting them. Yes, it is something we've got to look at. Because to attract a teacher across is expensive. But if you give them the right environment, the right house, etc., then they're going to want to stay here at a good school.
Yeah, it is that you mentioned the house and the job and so on. It is the bigger picture.
Absolutely.
And it's nice. I think that's where the regeneration is quite an interesting thing as well. Speaking to Rhaenyra, who put something very, very well a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about, I just asked a bog standard question, do we need these houses? And it's a follow-on from what you've just said. These youngsters are going to come through, they're going to need somewhere to live. It's as simple as that.
The right sort of houses they can afford in the areas that they want to live in. It's not about the number of houses we build, it's building the right quality houses in the right places for the right people.
When you think back, we're roughly the same age. I think you're slightly older than me.
Yeah, okay.
Only slightly. But when you think back to when you were at school and what was available to us and the routine that we went to and so on, and then, you're in place now, coming out the other end, different time, how do they differ, the things that are being done? And is there things that you could go back and think, right, if they brought that back, and I'm not talking about corporal punishment or anything like that, but there must be, I would say that the youngsters back in our day weren't under so much pressure.
I think what's different is when I first went to primary school, all those many years ago, I knew where my next two schools were going to be. My old school journey was mapped out from a very young age. I was going to go to that school, and that school. I think now parents tend to choose, quite rightly so, parental choice, to take their send their children to other schools on the island, have them travelling, gaining their, you know, widening their experiences. I think that's good. Housing-wise, yeah, well, some people benefit from going to university now and then coming back with the skills the Isle of Wight needs. I think it's a very important issue for us to work on the career ship and do go off to study at university. We have something to track them back to the office, be it a nice place to live, a nice house, a nice job. When I was at school, university was... not many people went to university. Now, an awful lot of people go to university. People go there more now than they ever have in the past. But it's attracting those people back to the island, or offering them degree courses they want to do on the island that fits with our local business needs if they want to stay on the island long term. So if they want to always live and work on the island, you know, what courses do we need to provide on the island, give them the skills they need to go into a business on the island? So what skills do our businesses need?
Yeah, that's true. And I say so much has changed, technology has changed as well. And I mean, it's so different to when we, you know, kind of grew up and was going through all this system. But the one thing that if you talk to a lot of youngsters, which I'm sure you do, when they come in here, that they don't get is, well, they get stressed, they get pressure. You mentioned Tom Jackson then. And, you know, I know that he contacts me on quite a regular basis. And he is under enormous amounts of pressure. He's doing exams, A-levels, I believe. Then he's going to university. And I'm guessing he's already got his place. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it's already sorted. Mm. And, yes, he starts in September. But he just strikes me as being this lad that is under enormous amounts of pressure. And you do kind of feel for them because I don't know what it's like. I don't ever remember being under that kind of pressure.
I think pressure... sometimes what you bring on yourself. And when I was doing my O-levels, I mean, I studied and revised hours and hours and hours because I was paranoid about not getting my exams. I didn't really know which direction I wanted to go in, career-wise. Now some people, if they want a certain place at university, they have to have certain grades to get into that course, and that creates its own pressure. If it's a course you want to do and you need, two A's and a B, that creates the pressure to get the two A's and a B.
Sure.
And I think that's wrong in a way, because people will naturally get the grades that they're that they should get, but to be told you must get two A's and a B to get to this university, because so many universities to pick from now, when they want, it dictates their pressure, I think, and how you deal with it is different. Some people just get their head down and crack on, with some people just... Some people walk into exams and pass without no revision, when you were at school.
Yeah.
Some people have to revise really hard to get past it. I have to revise hard to pass an exam. I can't wing it, as they say, but some people are naturally clever, will wing, sure, wing exams. And then that's the pressure you get, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm guessing it's a bit of both. When we put youngsters through school, it's to get them the best education they can. Is there an element of getting them work ready as well? Or does that come under the same hat?
No, there's very much pressure to get the work ready, and it's the right... I think this muted Ofsted changes that may be coming into play this year, which will not take the focus off of maths and English, won't make it completely maths and English-driven. And we've got sort of three pieces of work going on at the island at the moment about linking education and businesses, looking at a vision for our education on the island and how we can get that link... the careers and the right thing for the young people built into play. So there's three little working parties going on that are going down that route very much. So it's a very important route to go down.
Yeah. I say, Rhaenyra was on a couple of weeks ago. What was interesting is she made this statement about the fact that companies, there's around 400 teenagers that are involved with companies to learn trades, and work and so on and so forth. And when we said, well, where's the story then? Why aren't you shouting about this? Because that would fill people with a bit more, hope and some kind of direction. And it would give people, that thought of, well, hang on a minute, that's what I want to do. At 16, 17, I want to go to that factory one day a week. I want to learn that. Is that for me? But we're not shouting about it that much.
I think that's a question perhaps you can ask Martin when he comes down, because we need to get the message out there. I didn't realise till I started this role that there's something in the region of 400 people at the moment on the Isle of Wight doing degrees.
Yeah.
At the college.
Wow.
At UKSA. Platform One, who do a fantastic role at what they do in the music college up there. You know, I'm sure you've had dealings with. You know, these people are doing these qualifications. We just got to put it together into almost like a directory where schools and businesses can tap into for the skills that they need and schools for the experience they want to give their children, the young people. We had a youth conference where young people were tasked with branding. Monero was heavily involved in that organising of it. How you brand this higher education offer, how you market it, what sort of accommodation do these students want to live in? Because there is a lot of companies out here that do offer apprenticeships, do offer work experience, and the schools need to know where to go to. So it's like pulling it into a central branded pot that they can just dip in and out of for the skills that they need.
I know what I think. I wonder what you think. Are we shouting about it enough? Do you hear about all of those positive things you just mentioned? Or do you get fed up of people, you know, doing down the Isle of Wight, selling themselves short and shooting themselves in the foot? Or everywhere you go, do you hear those things, how positive it is, we're doing this, we're doing that? Because I know that I don't hear enough of it. You know, there's this thing, 400 people, 400 youngsters that are all part of these companies, all learning, all doing. You know, you mentioned people there doing degrees and things like that. Why aren't we shouting about this? Why don't people know about it? Why are too many people down in the doldrums because they don't know about these things?
I think the answer is no and yes. Your first question, we don't shout about it enough. The providers don't shout about it enough. You know, Platform One has got links with Chichester University. Fantastic students. Really fantastic musicians they produce. Don't shout about it enough. And we need to sell that message. And I do get fed up. We say, I'm born and bred on the island. It's my home. I love it to bits. You know, I get frustrated by very fairs and things at times. But I don't... It annoys me when people talk the island down, especially people that haven't been here that long. You know, it's easier to criticise the island instead of saying, you know, let's do something about this. So I think we need to sell the island more, and I think we are. It's just taken a bit of time to see. You know, we've won some awards recently, some Countryfile awards for bays and towns, and the message. I think as human beings, we don't like to shout our own goodness sometimes, but we need to.
We do
a lot more.
Yeah, to get the positive vibe going, we need to lift ourselves out of the doldrums. But more importantly, don't shoot ourselves in the foot. Mm. You know, the fact is that, yes, it's positive. I think I've said this before, and I don't mind saying it again because it's a positive thing. I used to work at Plessy's, and I told you this story a little while ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, you used to drive by a Plessy's after I'd left it 20 years. And you used to see a little bit more gone, paint shop gone, woodworking shop gone. Not that they had a woodworking shop, but all these shops that were just disappearing, and the people that were working there were becoming less and less and less. And you just think, all right, your mindset tells you that that's shrinking, so that means factories are shrinking because there were some other major factories that are no longer here. But if you look closely, you see other factories. You mentioned Jeff Underwood and his company. We should give him a plug here.
Yeah, definitely. He's a very, very successful company. Proud to be based on the island. And, it's a great credit to the island that his business thrives here.
90 people working there. If you walk along the river, you can see all these businesses along there as well. And if you drive to East Cowes, you can actually have this beautiful view if you look along the river. And there's all these companies that have set up. So my mindset was, oh, Plessy's is shut down, or it's you know, closing, ever diminishing, and so on and so forth. But if you have a look around, there's lots of other little places that are popping up with, you know, quite a strong workforce as well. And now, if you drive by Plessy's, there is of course a Sensos that is there that I think they've got one of the highest amount of people that employment figures. So I just think it's very, very positive, but it's very easy to shoot ourselves in the foot.
I think yes,
and think in the old ways, and we just got to open our eyes a little bit and have a little look.
And when you use Plessy as an example, you know, years ago Plessy was a huge factory area. Now there's more technology involved. Now we don't need so much space for technology. And I think, although perhaps the look of the premises shrinks, the workload, the work they do doesn't. Same with GKN. You know, the work they do is nationally, internationally recognised. Mm. You know, we've got some great businesses on the island doing great jobs for our youngsters to join. it's about selling that message more, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to chat. You got something you want to promote?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
On behalf of Martin?
Yeah. And half of all of us, yeah.
Is he a Southampton fan?
I don't think so.
He just didn't want to be with you,
though.
He's
quite normal.
<How's> he? And also, there was something else I was going to ask you. So, since the last time you've been in, what projects have you been working on? That's what we're going to ask you. That's
okay.
What we're going to we'll come back and we'll chat about that. What do you fancy? Some Simple Minds or some Dusty Springfield or some something else?
Simple Minds is fine.
Okay, Simple Minds. That's what you're going to get in a couple of minutes.
Vectors Radio. 104.6.
Did you love albums and the sound of music on vinyl? Head up to Paul and Tao Music Lounge for a great selection of vintage vinyl and CDs from across the decades, guitars and accessories. We're at the top of Ride High Street near St John's Hill. We buy and sell records, so pop in and show us your collection. Sit and chat and relax with a coffee. We're open from 9 until 5 from Tuesday to Saturday, and you can call us on 07905 536 541. And if you like a bit of Elvis, this is the place to go.
The White Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Are your staff struggling to find the energy to push your business onto the next level? Would a more energised, focused and happier workforce benefit your business? Then you need the Fit Mindset Code. We provide business-specific health, fitness and wellbeing courses designed around your business needs. Contact us on 07966 070 636 or visit the website on www.thefitmindsetcode.com. Energise your business potential. It's all in the mindset.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
Hi, I'm Kai Dawn, and the 4Ps project has helped me improve my confidence. I would highly recommend this course, and if you're interested, you can contact Ian Mack on ian.mack@vectusradio.fm.
Devoted to the Isle of Wight, this is Vectus Radio, FM 104.6.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
So I've just been joined by Oscar, who's in the studio, and Oscar has a question for Paul. But what we're going to do first of all, Paul, is you've got to get this plug out, because otherwise you'll never be forgiven. This is something we were going to get some governors in to talk to, school governors, which obviously play a major part in schools nowadays.
Yes, because school governors play a very important role in holding the school to account and taking ownership of the Ofsted report, the performance management of the head teacher, and really driving the school standards forward. And on the island, we do have 114 currently vacancies. Sounds a lot, but when you've got like 50 odd schools, it's,
yeah,
you know, some schools, and some schools, you know, don't choose to have their full complement of governors, but it's 114 vacancies. So what we're doing, we're going to hold an information day, information evening on Thursday the 16th of May at the White Innovation Centre at St Cross Business Park. There's two sort of drop-in sessions at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, with refreshments. It's all been led by a lady called Diane Hiscock, who runs our governor services.
Right.
And does a fantastic job doing so. Because, you know, some people don't know what a school governor is and what schools might need. And it's very much the skill set that they need, because people might think, I don't know anything about schools. But a governing body's got to be made up of people that know about education, know about finance, know about HR. Because you need a mixture of skills on governing bodies. So they all do skills audits. So yeah, if anyone's interested in being a school governor, say 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. at St Cross Business Park next Thursday. If you want more information, just call our governor's services on 01983 817 280, and they'll be able to find more information about you know, say, have I got the skills to be a governor?
Okay.
Where are the vacancies? You know, just to help fill the gaps, really.
And there's a page on the council website as well, isn't there?
There is,
if you
want
to know more.
Yeah, 114 vacancies sounds a lot, but, you know, it's not uncommon.
But obviously we need them filled.
Absolutely. So, you know, I was a school governor for 23 years.
Not anymore?
No.
Retired? Gave it up? Someone upset you?
go back to the AET days at Sandown. They decided to remove us all.
Oh, right.
Obviously, I can't be school governor now because I'd have a conflict of interest, but I enjoyed my 23 years as a school governor.
Right? You can't be a school governor. How ridiculous is that? I would have thought you would have been in a great position to be a school governor.
I got enough on my plate without being a school governor, but having said that, I do encourage all of my fellow councillors, if they've got a school in their ward, to go and, you know, knock on the door. And when I go to primary schools, if they've got a vacancy, I'll tap up the local councillor, and I've done that several times now, and ask the local councillors to go on their governing body. They've got the skills that they need to help the governing body progress the school.
How many governors does a school actually need, or is it not, you know, they just need an X amount?
You have a certain breakdown of local authority governors, parent governors, staff governors. You know, so every school's got its own breakdown constitution of what they need.
Yeah.
An average primary school would probably have between eight and ten. Secondary school may have between 12 and 15.
Crikey. That's quite a lot, isn't it?
It is. You have subgroups, and it's a rewarding job. You get to know how the school works. You get to be a critical friend for the head. But equally, there's governors have got responsibilities, legal responsibilities, to challenge and, you know, drive the Ofsted performance in the school forward.
Okay. So if you are thinking about it, peeps, then go for it. It's rewarding.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you'll be overseeing the future of our youth, which is, you know, a vital role. You got a question there, Oscar,
haven't
you?
Yes, I have.
You did have 19, but apparently you've lost a bit of paper with those questions on. You've only got two now.
Yeah.
So go on, what's your first one?
What's the best part of your job?
Best part of my job is what I've always enjoyed doing is meeting people and helping people. I love, you know... I've always been a problem-solving person when I worked in the bank. The satisfaction of helping a resident with a small problem, or helping or getting a school with an Ofsted come through was good. Or obviously recently our children's services team, when they got a good rating from Ofsted, which was absolutely phenomenal performance, as we talked about before. So I like success, but I like helping people. And success for someone is getting a bin moved or getting an abandoned car moved to some of other people. It's, you know, changing a policy on the school academic year or something. I enjoy helping people and meeting people.
I've got a question, and I don't want you to think that I'm asking it because there's something awkward lurking, because it's not. It's just a case of, in the past X amount of years you've been doing this, two years, this role?
Yep.
Has there been any negative sort of? What's the worst? What was the rock bottom, if that's the right way of describing it, that you've managed to turn around? So something bad's happened and you managed to turn it around. And I'm not asking that because I know. I'm not preempting the question. I don't know.
It's an easy question.
I don't do any research, as people know.
The worst was an AET said they were shutting secondary education in the Bay. They were closing Sandown Bay Academy. And so we have no secondary school in the whole of the Bay. To tackle it head on and set up this through school, the Bay Primary School, to save secondary education in the school, which is now thriving. People are choosing to go back to the Bay. So that was the low. No, it's not going to happen. We're going to solve this. And the satisfaction of when the Bay School opened last September, to me, was, you know, I've achieved something for the Bay.
Brilliant. Good for you. And again... It's kind of, when you put it in that terms, that hang on a minute, it was going to go. How close was it from like shutting down?
Oh, it was shutting down. AET told the Regional Schools Commissioner they were pulling out of Sandown and closing the school. Simple as that.
So that's how close we were, and there we are. It's now thriving.
We had to go against government policy. We had to go against the ministerial guidance to persuade them that a through school was the best option and the right option for the 1,100 pupils that were there. And whilst initially, you can't, all schools must be academies, we weren't taking no for an answer, and we fought it, and we got to where we are with great support from the, you know, community of the Bay, supporting us and giving us the ammunition we needed, and to turn it round to have a thriving secondary school in the Bay for the whole of, you know, Sandown, Shanklin Lake, area is just a phenomenal achievement.
Yeah, and
I'm very proud of.
We should shout about it, but we don't, do we? It's like, oh, well, he's done that, yeah, okay.
We shouted, you know, the personal satisfaction. And I know when I go and talk to residents and, you know, go to the feeder primary schools in the Bay Area, you know, they're all chuffed to bits that we managed to achieve that. And it was the biggest thing I've done from the lowest point.
I've got another question for you. This is from Chaz, which is Oscar's dad, who's over there listening. So you couldn't have a Southampton, a grown-up Southampton fan and a grown-up Portsmouth fan in the same room, same studio. He says, basically, do you know that man?
John, Portsmouth Football Club Westwood. Absolutely.
Is he the guy with the drum? Or is it
he's the guy with the drum, the tattoos, the hat, the flippers. He's never missed a Portsmouth game for many, many years. And every club needs a John Westwood.
He must be an absolute nightmare to sit next to.
I've only sat in front of him once at an away game at Cambridge, I think it was.
Yeah.
And have a drum banged in your ear for 90 minutes.
Pardon? Yeah.
But if ever a guy's passionate about something,
he's
your man.
And that's his real name, is it?
He's now John Portsmouth FC Westwood.
John Portsmouth
FC. Who runs a vintage bookshop during the week. And the weekends becomes Mr. Portsmouth.
All right, okay, brilliant. We've got another question from Oscar. We've got a telephone call coming through. I don't like to take calls because we've got enough brain cells in the room to work it, you know, what we're doing. Oh, they rung up anyway, which is good news. Sorry, if you wanted to ring back, feel free, but you've got another question there, Oscar.
What do you do in your spare time?
In my spare time, I do a lot of walking. I walk the dog and I play golf.
Golf. You mentioned it out there, and I thought you were mucking around.
No, I played golf. It was my 14th birthday present, joining the local golf club.
Really?
And I'm still a member now. So I try and play golf twice a week, and I just love walking, spending time down my beach hut and walking the dog.
We were talking to you about hobbies yesterday, and does golf appeal to you?
I've played Browns, golf course in
Browns.
I play there.
Not the same, is it? Because you can get out and walk and walk and walk.
Yeah, you walk about 4.5 miles around a golf course.
There you are. That's what you want to have a go at that.
I've always played golf. I love watching football. I watch all sport, but I love watching football, obviously.
Yeah.
But playing is golf for me.
Do you want a caddy? Yeah, you know what a caddy is, don't you?
Really?
I tell you what, you turn up when he next plays golf, he'll tell you what a caddy is. just bring your A game. That's all you need to do. Have you got a handicap?
Yeah, 7.
Is that good?
Not bad.
All right. Do you know what I thought of you the other day? Because this week there was a big announcement about who won the Premier League in the table tennis.
Yeah.
Are you aware of it?
I still know Danny Burns quite well, and he's, you know, I still see Danny around. We used to work together, so...
Right.
I don't miss it because that's what done my knees in, but we used to have some good fun.
We did. But they call it the Premier League now.
At the end of, because there's less teams now in the league, what I gather, the league finishes quite early now.
Yeah.
So they always tag something on the end of it, and they'd come up with the idea of an interesting two-man competition just to sort of fill up the weeks when the season used to finish.
Yeah.
And it's a good idea, and they're all in one venue, so you can go and watch. So they have all the games in, you know, so there's 8 teams in the Premier League, 8 teams of 2. In one room to try and get spectators to watch, to encourage people to play more. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Was it the Incredibles or the Unbeatables or something, the Untouchables
not
or
into
something?
I
forget who the names were, but I just thought.
The Follically Challenged.
How it's changed.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be like Rocks Away or Ventnor B or, you know.
I'm not into fancy names. Like cricket teams now and rugby league teams, they all have sort of, you know, Leeds Ryan. I mean, it's Leeds.
Yeah.
You know. You should just call the team what it is.
Have you ever played table tennis?
Mucking around, yeah.
Mucking around, yeah. Right. Okay, you got another question.
If you could go anywhere, where would you go?
Anywhere.
Anywhere in the world.
No.
I want to go to Vietnam. I've done Cambodia. So I'd like to go to Vietnam and do a tour around there. I'd like to go to the Caribbean. I've no interest in going like to Mars or something like that. I just like going for a night. I'm not going on holiday and lying on the beach type person. I've got a beach in Sandown. I like going on holidays where you can do things and, you know, see things. I like sightseeing. I like seeing, you know, and I don't like going to the same place more than once. So on my bucket list, the Caribbean and Vietnam.
All right, what about you? Where would you go? If there's anywhere in the world you could go to?
Well, when I'm probably 19 to 20, I'm going around the world.
You're going to go around the world?
Yeah. Like, the first place I'm going to go is Australia, then go to... No, I'm going to go to Singapore first, then to Australia.
Do you know what? Is there any way that your old man could afford to take me in all? Good grief. That's something, isn't it?
I've never fancied Australia. Singapore, I've found. I've never fancied Australia. I don't know why.
My auntie lives in Australia.
All right. So you're going out to visit and go around the world. How lovely must that be?
Yeah.
To be able to just get in, you know, just go. Just go and travel. You lucky old thing, you.
Where's the best place you've been to so far? Your favourite place you've ever been to?
Probably America and Malta.
Whereabouts in America did you go to?
I went to Florida.
You enjoy that, didn't you?
Yeah, it's really good.
Your dad's been in touch. He said, "Wowzers, Paul, you're talking sense for a Pompey fan."
Thank you. Totally
agree that we should big up this beautiful island we all live on. It is a fantastic place to live. We are so lucky, in my opinion. He did let himself down, though, with a quip that about Southampton fans. I knew he chose Simple Minds being a Pompey fan, so the Saints go marching on in the Premiership. That's from Chaz.
That's a boring song, isn't it? It's got no...
And we're in the Saints. I'm only joking, Chaz. Just put the furniture down. I bet he's angry
now. I'll tell you what, on the back of the side of football, why can't we have a decent Ireland football team? I wish we had a real top-quality amateur, Ireland team that could push and develop and, you know... Well,
do you know what? If you remember about, I think it was the last Ireland Games, didn't we win it as an Ireland team?
We did.
So, just say, for instance, with all these people, you know, I'm not saying Cowes Sports are struggling, I'm not saying East Cowes Vics are struggling, but Newport are struggling with ground. If they all, like, clubbed together and had one club and put it on and made it, you know, the Isle of Wight, you just imagine where we could be.
I watched the programme on Salford City, on a series on telly where, you know, the United Stars, you know, run down Salford City and turned it into a decent football ground and decent team, possibly get in the football league next year. You know, why can't the Isle of Wight have an ambition to have a Division 2 football team over here? Why not?
It's about coming together.
It is.
It really is about coming together and being as one. And all the time we're divided. We're never ever going to do that.
No.
And it will never happen. But every 4 years, they come together. And like I say, last time they went out and won gold in the Ireland Games. They've done really, really well. And you think, why can't you do that all the time?
I know.
You know, it's just a shame. Hey, look, we're running out of time, but I've got to ask you this. What's coming up in the next 6 months? What's big? What's on the horizon? What are you fixing?
Well, the big thing is to get this careers partnership up and running. We really, really want this central directory of businesses that are prepared to work experiences, where all schools really drive careers links. I really want that to take off, because it's important that we get that right. We regenerate housing for these students. Cowes Enterprise College, their brand new 4G football pitch will be finished. Hopefully by the end of this month, it'll be one of the best sports football pitches in the country at a school for the whole Isle of Wight to use. You know, floodlit 4G state-of-the-art football pitch, which is going to be part funded by us, part funded by the Football Association. Our children's services are going from strength to strength. I've got a tricky situation regarding West Wight at the moment. Obviously, we're going through a West Wight place planning exercise because there's too many primary places in the West Wight area. So we're going through a process of consultations. As I said earlier, I want to make sure all the children are taught in a good school, in a good viable school. So there's issues out there that I'm addressing. But I'm really confident in the way things are going. The school's going in the right direction. Children's service is going in the right direction, as now recognised by Ofsted. We're now aiming for outstanding at our next visit.
Good.
So lots of positives.
Well, good luck with that. Do you ever get... Because I know sometimes you read things in the press, and I know I never really believe everything that I read in the press, but, you know, when people get a bit up in arms and stuff like that. Do you ever take anything to heart?
I do take it to heart inwardly. When I first got the role of cabinet member, I was told that you would hear things about young people that will disgust you, horrify you. When you go into schools, you will read things and see things that, you know, that are there. So I was never a particularly thick-skinned person. I don't like criticism, but I've learned to be a bit more thick-skinned, and I've learned to look at the positives, and I try and work well with the media to make sure I do get positives out there. So, yeah, I've learned to be a bit more thick-skinned than perhaps I was in the bank, but I do take things to heart because I care. Just the bottom line,
which is lovely, which is you know, for me, you're just giving the perfect answer, because you know, at the end of all of this, we think, hang on, you're human, and you're putting people first, and that's what you want. That's what you
need.
I care
about my own, and I care about the young people.
Exactly, and that should never ever be criticised. And I think sometimes people lose sight of you know, what a counsellor is, what a counsellor does. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they're just trying to make things better and fix things. Okay, that's you know, in some cases, that's not always true, but definitely in your case, it sounds like you know, we're kind of lucky to have you. We've got the right person doing the job.
Just try and be honest and open with people, and if there's a discussion that's happening, I'll have it, you know. Honesty and caring are the two biggest things for me, really.
So is there anything that you've kind of looked at in the last few years and thought, well, do you know what, I got that wrong, or it didn't work?
No. No, I mean, you know, there's nothing that I've done in this role. I mean, the example of it is, you know, we've made a decision to change the school term time. I've had this conversation with people several times. You know, you made the wrong decision. Well, I don't know if it works yet. You can't prove whether a change has worked. You know, the through school, we set the through school up in the Bay. I can't prove whether that's worked until we get a track record of results and, you know, improving trends.
It's working,
you know,
for the time being, isn't it?
Yeah, the decision's made upon fact for the right reasons, and you've got to try and judge the outcomes. But it happens over a period of time.
Yeah.
All I know is, you know, things are going in the right direction at the moment in general, and anything that's not, we're addressing head-on with support and guidance.
So no is the answer.
No is the answer.
Everything's all right. Everything's cushy. It's all going in the right direction.
Yes.
Which is good news. Do you ever get like sleepless nights? Are you worried about people?
Yeah.
It's human. I worry about those people that don't have sleepless nights, because I would imagine over the last, you know, 2 and a bit years, you've had to make some tough decisions.
Yeah, when I was in the bank, I used to get the same. I used to sort of think about the things I'd do the next day. It's like, yeah, well, if you care, you lose sleep over things if they're not going the way you want them to.
Yeah.
And you go to how are you going to correct that to get the right result for everyone?
Okay. And you've got major things that are coming up in the next little while. Which is the one thing that you're concerned about in the next 6 months? Which is the one thing that's out of your control that, you
apart
know...
Apart from Paulson's getting promotion for the championship.
Well, see that? I don't know.
And I think because the officers I work with, I'm in control of everything I'm doing. I'm not a control freak, but I like to understand and control things. I can't control what happens nationally, but what I can focus on is what I can control and influence locally. And that's the big thing for me, is don't worry about the national side of things. What can I do to make a difference?
Yeah, which is what
I focus on.
Probably the best way to be. And you've got elections coming up in the next council elections are...
In 2 years' time.
In 2 years' time. So you've got another 2 years to do all of this.
Yep.
And just to go back to, you mentioned the new system that is going to be in place. And this affects you, Oscar, all right, for the next couple of years, because you've got another couple of years still at school.
I've got 2 years left.
2 years left. That, just to reiterate, the new system that comes in place... It is to do with the summer holidays being slightly shorter, and the next term being there's an extra week in between.
Yeah, the first change you'll see is October this year. There'll be a 2 week October half term, and that will be followed by next summer. There would be 5 whole weeks of the summer. At the moment, it's sort of 5 weeks and a couple of days either end, or day either end with development days. There'll be a set 5 week summer break plus development days or bank holidays. But the main change you'll see is 2 year October half term. Which, ironically, you know, the feedback from teachers I speak to is that for them it'd be great, and for the pupils it'd be great, because it'll give teachers the chance to... A week holiday for teachers, they don't take a week. It might take a few days. They had a chance to have a week's holiday and come back refreshed, as will the pupils.
So that's starting...
This October.
This October, OK.
Yeah.
So you still get your 6 weeks this summer.
That's all right.
And then you get an extra week in October, but then the following year... Do you envisage there being any grief over that?
No.
Because I just think a lot of people won't notice it, will
they? We did the consultation, we took the views of the public, we had a massive, I think it was 1,800 responses to our consultation. We took the views of the public and the staff into consideration, and made the decision based upon their feedback to try and improve the results across the island, which is the ultimate aim.
Yeah, I personally don't think there's going to be a problem. I'd like to see kids being out in the fresh air for 6 weeks, but I mean, things have changed. Computer games have ruined that. And, you know, so, but I think the two week thing, that's probably where, if there is going to be, you know, moans and groans, that's probably where it's going to be. You know, half term, 2 weeks off. That's, but proof's in the pudding. And if you don't try these things, you're never going to know.
No, by doing the consultation the way we did it, you know, open and honest consultation and taking the feedback and,
yeah,
you know.
Hey, look, Paul, we've got to go. But thanks for being a great guest. We come back again.
I'm starving.
Go on, you're going to have those ham rolls.
Cheers, Ian.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Oscar. Radio FM 104.6.